So we are continuing here, still in the fifth chapter of the book of Luke. And so let me just remind you of the encounters that we've talked about here in chapter 5. First of all, Jesus had the encounter with Peter, the fisherman by trade, who was a new believer that Jesus had called. And Peter was the man who was distracted, showed up again the second time. He was busy about his business, and he hadn't really counted the cost of discipleship yet, but Jesus looked at him directly and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will change your life and everything about what you're doing." The second man, the second encounter, was the leper. He was the one who was diseased and rejected. He was the one that, by no fault of his own, had a disease that he couldn't cure, and nor could anyone else. And most likely he would live all of his life with this disease as an outcast, calling out unclean wherever he went, being despised by everyone around him, and having the feelings of rejection in his life. But he said to Jesus, "If you're willing," and you would think, well, why wouldn't he? And Jesus says, "I am willing." And he was clean. The third man we talked about last week was the paralyzed man, the man with palsy, the one who, in that story where the four friends bring him to Jesus. They can't get into the house. There's so much of a crowd. They go on top of it. They tear off the roof. They drop him down in there, and Jesus heals him. He's able to, he says, "Take up your mat and walk. Go to your home and worship as you're supposed to." But we always talk about the four men, or we talk about the man who had the house, who had patience and all that. The paralyzed man was the forgotten man in the story. And many people in our lives are forgotten also. So today we're going to talk about one that is repeated. The Pharisees loved this one. We're going to talk about Levi, the tax collector, who was the sinner, who was the one who was hated by the religious people in their lives. So if you have your Bible, I want to read with some thoughts from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and I'll begin at verse 27. And the very first two words says, after this, after all of this that we've talked about, after all these things that have been going on, I remind you that one day he was standing by the lake, and there was Peter and the other fishermen, and Peter's life, he had an encounter with Peter a second time, and that moment he was changed forever. That was in verse 1. Verse 12 was another encounter. While Jesus was in one of the towns, that's when the leper with leprosy showed up, and he said, I am willing, you will be healed. In verse 17 it says, one day he was teaching. And he was probably near the synagogue, but this time he was in a house surrounded and filled with people listening to everything he was talking about. And that's when they lowered him down and he was healed. So today, we're after all of that. It says Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector. Now we read over that real quickly and we don't realize some impact in that. Just those few words. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. The Greek definitions of those words and the English understanding of them, or our English understanding of them, is this. He did something on, he deliberately went out. He had a mission in mind, and he knew where he was going to. He went to the tax collector. And the tax collector by the name of Levi, sitting at his tax booth. Jesus went where Jews didn't go unless they absolutely were forced by the government to go. That was to the tax collector's booth. And the only thing he said to this tax collector, Levi, was, "Follow me." And it says in verse 28 that Levi got up, he left everything, he followed Jesus, followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his home. Now, we don't know if that was the same day or later in the week, but he was so impacted by that one simple encounter that Jesus would come to him, a Jew, that he and that his life was impacted so much that he threw a party for Jesus. So Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect, they complained to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them and said, it's not healthy. It is not the healthy who need a doctor. It is the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Now, after they left the leper, they were amazed, they praised God, they were filled with His Spirit, God's Spirit, and began to testify. Now, some time has passed, he's in another location, he gets up and he deliberately goes to this man called Levi, the tax collector, who was a tax collector for the Roman government. He was hated by everybody. Even the Romans hated him. His main job was to take taxes and money from the Jews to give to the government and went up the line, but he was allowed to keep a little bit of profit for himself to live by. And the Jews hated him. They despised him. They despised him because he was employed by the government to take advantage of the Jews. That's how they felt. That's what they believed. And usually that's what they did. They were considered betrayers. Like Judas was a betrayer, these tax collectors, Jewish men, were considered betrayers. They were considered dishonest, unpatriotic, and they figured, the Jews said they've lost their self-respect. You don't have anything to do with these people. And truthfully, they probably did pad the books. They probably lied to the people to get more money for themselves. But the Roman government never interfered in these Jewish tax collectors for the Roman government as long as the Roman government got its share, got its money. But Jesus didn't see Levi like that. He didn't see him as the hated tax collector. He saw him as Jesus sees us, as someone he calls a sinner in need of repentance. And we're all in that category. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how he sees us. The day that Jesus encounters Levi at the tax table, several things happened in Levi's life. First of all, he was saved. And that's the greatest of all the things that happened. He was saved. He came to a personal salvation experience with the God of the universe who created all things. And we ought to be excited about that. We ought to be celebrating that. It doesn't matter who is involved in what's happening in the lives of those who are being saved. We should celebrate. Friday night, a number of our youth and our adults went to the judgment house as they did last year. And I get a text from Elizabeth Thomas saying three of our students have professed Christ as their Savior and wanted to be baptized today. We'll baptize them next Sunday morning. I'll present them to you. We should celebrate. It doesn't matter who's involved. It doesn't matter how it came about. It doesn't matter as long as Jesus Christ, I talked to two of them yesterday and I talked to them about their personal relationship and I asked them this question. So what difference has it made? Who is Jesus in your life? And they were able in their words to tell me that Jesus is now their Savior. Forgive them of their sin has come into their life. That's what we should celebrate. Levi was saved that day and we should celebrate that salvation. But he also became a disciple. He took another step of faith to be a disciple of Christ, to follow him in a different way. When Jesus said, follow me, he got up and followed. He could have stayed there and tried to be a Christian tax collector. It probably wouldn't have worked. But he followed Jesus. He became a disciple. His name was changed. Most people kind of wash over this. His name became Matthew. And there's a book named Matthew that he probably wrote. He had an impact on our Christian faith in a mighty way. God changed his name from Levi to Matthew. Jesus shared a meal with him. Then Levi invited friends to share that meal with them. And then some of Levi's friends came to know Christ also. Maybe not all of them, but many did. But here's the thing that always happens when God shows up and starts working and people are doing things differently than the ordinary way, the Cold Water Committee shows up. That was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You know, they weren't involved in that salvation experiencing. They weren't there, but they certainly knew all the facts. None of the details, they had all the details, none of the facts in their lives. And that always happened. I said in my notes, the Cold Water Committee went nuts. So the question of the day is this. And this is, I want you to ponder this. Who do you hate the most? Who do you despise when you see them or hear their name? Who is it you avoid in the marketplace? You're in Walmart, they come in down the aisle and you turn around and go the other way. As fast as you can go. Who do you disassociate yourself from and you don't want to have anything to do with? Who is it that you've slandered and gossiped about and talked about because you don't like them? And they've done something to you. Who have you sabotaged in your mind by secretly wishing them harm and failure and pain? Who do you wish the worst to happen to? And finally, who's the last person on the face of this earth that you would deliberately, purposefully go to and have a meal? And pick up the tab. Not going to do it. But in the Jewish world that Jesus was living in those days, Levi was worse than all of these put together in the mind and the eyes of the Jewish people. And yet that is exactly the one that Jesus went to. That's exactly the one Jesus walked up to and said, follow me. We get so upset, and I do, with what's on television. We get so upset, and I do, with politics. We get so upset, and I do, with somebody I disagree with. But Jesus said, follow him, not them. We need to know that in our lives. So I have three thoughts this morning, all under the title of, why does Jesus still come today in our lives? Number one, he comes to bring that same message of salvation that he brought to Levi, to bring to the best of us and to the worst of us. He comes so that we would know the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day when we die, we'll go and live with him in heaven. We can't do that on our own. It'll never happen on our own. It can't happen on our own. Only Christ can do that for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the whole cotton-picking world. I think I added a word, didn't I? He didn't leave anybody out. And when the word world means the world. He didn't mean just America. He didn't mean just Jerusalem. He meant the world. He created us all in his image. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children and the big children of the world. All of us. He gave his life for us. He did the ultimate for us. And we've got a message that he's given to us to tell the world. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess, if you declare, if you tell with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart, and that's the key to it, that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a message we should tell the world every day. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household, everyone that you tell that the hears and believes in their heart, confesses with their mouth, will be saved. Many of you probably heard the name Karl Barth. When we're in seminary, he's a big name. Yeah, that you study and read those big old thick books. I didn't really read them, but I skimmed them. And man, he was a deep theologian. He was in the United States in 1962. He was at the Rockefeller Chapel, on the University of Chicago. He wouldn't be allowed today to speak, by the way. Christians aren't allowed to speak on the University of Chicago. Chicago doesn't want Chick-fil-A anywhere in their city because it's Christian and they're closed on Sunday. But in 1962, he was allowed to come, and at the end of his discussion, he gave a question and answer session, and it has been documented. People say it never happened. It did happen, and it actually happened again in a college in Richmond, Virginia. A student stood up and asked Barth if he could summarize the whole of his life's work in theology in one sentence. Now, this was a deep theologian, written many, many thousands of pages. And he said, yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You don't have to be able to speak theological language to tell people that Jesus loves them. Jesus still comes to us and through us by His Holy Spirit with the same message He brought to Levi, that lost, hated, despised, rejected, miserable man, that tax collector, and said, follow me. And he did. Number two, Jesus still comes because He comes to change our lives, to change our lives spiritually and eternally. And He changed at least three things that are very well demonstrated in the scripture. What happened immediately was He got up. Jesus said, follow me, and Levi got up. He got up from where he was to go in the direction Jesus was going. First of all, he changed his occupation. He never returned to that tax table again, not as a tax collector. He never returned there to cheat people out of their money. He never again lied and about what people owed the government so that he could have more for himself. He never went back to that old way of life. And by the way, he never forgot where he came from either. Because when he wrote the book of Matthew, he refers to himself as the tax collector. He talks about it. It's there. But he knew where God took him from and was taking him to. He had taken him from darkness and sin to salvation and light. He took him from judgment and hell to mercy, grace, and heaven. He took him from receiving the forgiveness of his sins to now being able to tell how they could have their sins forgiven and that he could forgive others. Remember the blind man who came before Pilate after he had been healed? Pilate, and they're talking to him, and all the blind man who's been healed says, I don't know about all that, but all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. That's the message. All I know is I'm a sinner, and God has forgiven me, and that's enough. And from now on, if I've messed up, God will forgive me, and if you can help me, I'll make it up. That's what it's all about. Now. For people to know Jesus. He left his job never to return again. He then became a proclaimer of the good news. Now going back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10 verse 2, he's listed among the 12 disciples. In Matthew 10 verse 5, Jesus sends those disciples out. In verse 7, he says they are to go out and proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. But that's not where it ends. Because in verse 8, he says to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, and to drive out demons. We have a job to do. And whatever we're doing, we ought to do it well. Yesterday was an example of our attempt to make an impact on this community and say, we love you. Jesus loves you. We want you to know Him so that you can go to heaven one day. That's what that's all about every day. And when Levi got up, he got going. Secondly, he changed his priorities. It says he got up and he left everything. He left everything behind him. He took nothing with him that was there. He left everything. He was no longer concerned about the money stacking up on that table and how much of it he was going to keep. He was no longer worried about the luxury, that high-paying job that he had, that he could make as much money as he could get out of the people. He was no longer, lived, it says, exclusively in Capernaum. He traveled all around that country even after Jesus was gone. And he was no longer concerned about that big house that he lived in where that big party took place, where he brought all those tax collectors. He, everything the world said mattered to him no longer mattered. Changed his priorities. And finally, he changed the direction of his life. It says he got up, he left everything, and he followed Jesus. He was no longer following the Roman government's tax laws and what he could do and get away with to make money for himself. He followed Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, I don't think he told Levi, I'll make you tax collectors for Jesus, but I think what he said was that I'm going to let you be fishers of men also, but in another way. You're going to seek them out in a different manner. You're going to have a different spirit. You're going to love them so that you give them far more than you ever take from them. Jesus said that. And then in Luke 9:23, says, anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. The third thought I'll share with you. Jesus comes to make a difference in our lives for the kingdom of God while we're on this world. Someone said this, if you're not making a difference for the kingdom, you're probably making a mess in the world. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, make me a blessing. Just like the song says. So I close with one final question. That hatred you're holding on to, that thing you're doing in response to how you feel. See, I'm going to tell you, Satan can make you feel really bad about anything in order to divert me and you from the kingdom. That thing that's causing all this difficulty in your life, you can't get off your mind. How's that working for you? Is it glorifying God? I think we need to remember, what would Jesus do in any circumstance that arises in our life? What would he do? Jesus was condemned because he went and ate with sinners. Wow. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that while we were yet sinners and sinning and sinning and sinning, Christ died for us. Let's get back to the basics. That's what all those illustrations at the first were all about. That wasn't just ramble. We got to get back to the basics, back to the truth, back to the commitment to Christ, back to the commandments He has given us, so that we, like Levi, can get up from whatever the circumstances are in our life, and we can move forward. We can leave that stuff behind and move forward following Jesus and make a difference in this world, starting right here in this church. Let's pray. Lord, everybody you encountered that listened and heard and received were changed. Change us. Change me. Change our church. But more importantly, as it goes out, change our world. This hatred is, is rubbing off on everyone. This murderous idea, you don't like somebody, destroy them. It's got to be stopped, Lord, and only you can do it. Forgive us all. You said if you look on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. So I guess that means if I've thought about harming, then I've killed. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us. Fill us with your presence. May we have that encounter today that reminds those of us who know you how far we've strayed and that we must come back, but also tells those who don't know you, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, may your will be done. May your spirit dwell. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now I belong to Jesus. I think that's what Levi said when he got up and he walked away. Now I belong to Jesus. Not the government, not to anybody else. Do you belong to Jesus? Let's stand. Let's sing about it. And if you need to respond, do that. Will you follow him today? All right. Then how about tomorrow and the next day? Whenever those trials come up, whenever those situations occur, whenever the feelings are there, Jesus said, follow me. Let's pray. So Father, we know we get diverted. We know we take wrong turns in life. We know that things happen that we have no control over. We know lots of things are going on. But of all the things, the most important thing for us is to follow you. So hear our prayer, hear our cry, forgive our sin. Use us as you did Levi. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.